Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wassalatu wassalamu ala asyrafil anbiya'i wal mursalin sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Right. Monday, 28th of August 2000. Last week we started off with A'raf, and then we saw a few verses talking about Jannah, especially to understand the bounties, the na'im as we call it, of Jannah, the na'ma. How are they going to be? This week, again, we'll talk of Jannah then Jahannam. I have continuously maintained that we are not going to talk about the physical description of Jannah and Jahannam. And I must explain what I mean by physical description. The physical description of Jannah is like there will be trees, there will be silk clothes, there will be pearls and oil, pearls and rubies and diamonds, there will be drinks made of honey and musk and the, these are all physical description, right? When it comes to Jahannam, there is talk of fire, there is talk of zakum, which is a kind of food of people of hell, which the Quran itself describes that it is something that will never quench the thirst or relieve the hunger, right? And so on. I mean, there are so many descriptions. Now, in Hadith, the Hadith is full of so many descriptions. That Jannat has levels, and as you go to from one grade, from one level to another, right? You go to a higher, a more vast area. Each difference between each door, as it says, is like it would take you to travel 500 years, right? And so on. These are all physical descriptions. And if you look at Hadith, Bihar al-Anwar, Al-Kafi, Ayan al-Ruba, so many things, right? So many descriptions that there is no way we can ever finish that in one or two lessons. Suffice it to understand that the Quran itself, especially the 30th Sipara, is full of these things. You can talk about the food of the people of Jannah and the people of Jahannam. You can talk about the drink of people of Jannah and people of Jahannam. All the physical attributes, descriptions, are all there, right? And what I would be interested is to, like I said last time, is to talk about a few different ideas, different concepts. Like last time we were talking about people in the fire of hell talking to each other, addressing each other. كُلَّمَا دَخَلَتْ أُمَّةً أُمَّةٌ لَعَنَتْ أُخْتَهَا. Right? Now, what is ummah? For example, it doesn't mean a group. Will people enter in a group? And we saw that ummah in the Holy Quran is referred to also one person as it is referred to Prophet Ibrahim, right? So it could mean only one person. But the concept of everybody entering and then cursing the other and why and what, those are the kind of things that we will talk about even today. There is the concept of khulud. Khulud as impermanence, eternal, right? People will be in the fire of hell eternally, and they will be in Jannah eternally. And why eternal when we are here temporary? So can we ever be repaid for a good deed or a bad deed with no time scale when we did what we did here with a time scale? Right? Is there any justice and so on? So those are the things that we discuss. And for that reason you will see that there are different verses that we shall look at. First of all, Surah A'raf 179. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد ذرأنا لجهنم كثيرا من الجن والإنس لهم قلوب لا يفقهون بها ولهم أعين لا يبصرون بها ولهم آذان لا يسمعون بها أولئك كالأنعام بل هم أضل أولئك هم الغافلون. Right? Now, just keep this on one side. You've read the translation. It means that we have created for Jahannam a lot of jinn and ins. Right? So we have created for Jahannam a lot of people. Basically, that's what Allah is saying. Compare that Hud 119. Surat Hud. What is that? 11119. What does it say? وَلِذَٰلِكَ خَلَقَهُمْ. For that he created them. That is referring to what? That same verse, Hud 119. If you look at إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ, except
the ones on whom the Lord has mercy.
Yeah. And for that he has created them. For what? For mercy.
Yeah.
Right? Now here in this part Allah is saying for mercy he has created them. And here says he has created a lot of people for the fire of hell.
So does that mean that when they are created already they are destined? He has created them for that purpose.
Does that mean that?
That's why I understand.
Exactly, that's the misunderstanding that people have.
Yeah.
People think that Allah creates a certain group of people stand for the fire of hell. Allah is more merciful than to do that. Allah,
look at the ayah just before, no, the one you mentioned.
Hud 119, right?
No, the Al-A'raf 178.
178,
huh? He says, he keeps us stable to the wish from
him. وَمَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِي.
Whatever he's saying.
وَمَنْ يُدْلِلْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. It's exactly what he is saying. So if Allah guides.
No, that one has some reasoning behind it. You can say that you ask Allah for guidance, and if He accepts your guidance, your request, and He guides you, then you will never be misguided. But there's some room for you to do something. The next one suggests there's no room for you. The first, the 178, in our understanding, it leaves space for you to do something.
178. Let's understand 178 properly. 178, the guidance that Allah is talking about here, that He is the guided one, He is talking of perfection. He is talking of guidance in its perfect sense. And therefore, that can only be achieved with Allah's guidance. Right? So it is not like he will actually misguide somebody to go from right path to the wrong path. No. What will happen is that Allah will hold back the guidance necessary to reach perfection. Because of our own deeds. Because we don't deserve it, because we are not capable of doing it, our ability is restricted. Because of all these various reasons, Allah will hold back that factor necessary to take us to perfection.
In some places Allah actually says, I will put you in the wrong place. Like, يُخْرِجُونَهُم مِنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ. He's going to do it. He's going to take you from the nur and put you in the zulumat.
Because of what?
Because of Awliya al-Tawhid. The people who are the friends of the Tawhid.
Yes. That means because you have chosen that path.
Then he will.
Then you cannot afford to be on that path and remain on the light. Right?
But he will actually put you out of the light.
You will actually. We will look at the verse of Ibn Bawra today. How Allah describes it. It's in Surah Al-A'raf. Allah describes it as slipping. فَانْسَلَخَ. That means he slipped. Right? And that is the concept. That once you get to a stage, you make a mistake, you slip. And when you start slipping, you roll down. That's how it happens. That's literally how it happens. And if you get a grip on yourself somewhere before you roll down completely, right, you correct your ways, you can ride back again. You can climb back again. Right? That's the concept. So this is perfection. We come to creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for mercy. Right? Now, I take you to a verse that is so important, but it is nowadays used in a different way. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Have you heard of that verse? That verse is a very common verse used, especially after the days of the revolution. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah will not change the state of a community or a people unless they change it themselves. Right? This is a verse that is used to incite and encourage people that look, you must start making changes, for Allah will not change you until you make a change. You take a step forward to make changes and Allah will help you to change, right? That is the contemporary interpretation of the verse, where in actual fact Allah is trying to give a different message, right? The contemporary interpretation of the message is that this society will remain static until we take a step to change. Right? That is the message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to make a statement. He is saying that every community that came down on this earth was blessed with bounties. Allah did not change the state, it is the people who changed it. So Allah does not change what is the state of a community until people themselves change it. And therefore, every community, every society is supposed to be blessed with bounties, but it is the people who changed their destiny. Right? And that alayhi salam. So Allah is making a statement. If people ask, okay, why is this particular society or why is this particular people enjoying more bounties of Allah than others, Allah says, Allah does not change the state of a society. It is the people who have changed it. Right? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ. His is justice and fairness. It is the people who within themselves change these things, and then they change, they alter the destiny of a society, right? Now, when Allah says, ذَرَأْنَا, we created, right? You got to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Jahannam for many people. He did not create the many people for Jahannam.
Isn't
right?
That what it says here in 139?
No. It says here, وَذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ. We created many people for Jahannam. Right. Here it says, we created many people for Jahannam. It doesn't say we created Jahannam for many people. It says, we created many people for Jahannam. Ayatullah Khabatabai gives a very good example. But try and understand this example, because this is to do with the knowledge of Allah. First of all, you've understood the verses, right? Okay, when on one side we have the verse Hud 119 that says that Allah created everybody for mercy, through His bounty. And here He says that He created many people, kathira, not kulli, many people for Jahannam. What does He mean? Ayatullah Tabatabai uses an analogy. He says, if you go to a carpenter, if you go to a carpenter and you ask the carpenter to make a chair from solid wood, forget the metal parts, yeah? Solid wood. You want a chair. He will look at the design and say, alright, you want a chair, but I will need so much raw material, wood. And for that raw material, he will ask you for material that is more than what the shape of the chair is, obviously. Right? So he will ask you for, four pieces like this, four pieces like that, whatever it is, he asks you. But the carpenter, being the carpenter who makes this chair, will know that whilst I will be able to carve a perfect chair from the raw material that I will be given, yet he knows that there will be a lot of wastage from it. And he provides for the wastage. For there is no way that he can get raw material and exact chip. He can't. There has to be wastage. And so he says that that wastage was created, that wastage was planned. Not that he wanted the wastage, but it is something that will definitely happen. You cannot get the chair without that wastage. Right? Now, here is not a system where Allah has planned it. Allah can do so many things. Right? Forget what Allah can do for a minute. Because Allah can do so many things. Allah, if He wanted, everybody would have been living in harmony. Let's remember that. But in a system that Allah has created, in that system, when Allah sought perfection in the human being, right? In the system that He created, Allah's knowledge is so eternal. Allah's knowledge is that He knew even before He created the first creature, Adam alayhi salam. He knew the lives of every human being. And in order to get to that perfect creature of His, our Holy Prophet, He knew that he would have to go through that system, He created, and that there would be so much wastage.
Does that mean the majority of people will be in Jannah? No.
It doesn't.
Well, I mean, going back to chairs.
Yeah, you see, try and understand the analogy. Don't look at the chair. Yeah, look at the analogy of producing something knowing that there will be waste. Yeah?
Will the wastage be more than the actual product?
That is not sort of from the verses of the Quran. You see, Ayatollah Tabatabai is just trying to bring the concept closer. It's not like that analogy fits exactly where you can, you know, compare every aspect of the analogy with the way Allah has created. In trying to understand the difference, or rather the conflicting nature of these two verses, is it conflicting? And he says, look, there can be no conflict in verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, the analogy that he comes up with is that in every person's creation, there has to be some wastage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His knowledge, says this wastage was for Jahannam.
Was Jahannam created before him? Or was it created after
him? It may not even have been created yet. We don't know.
But he knew that there would be wastage.
Yeah.
But
there are what came before?
The chicken or the egg? The egg or the chicken?
The omelette.
Which came first?
The omelette.
No, I think it was the human being who was created first. Jannat and Jahannam.
Don't forget.
Jannat is in the process of construction. Whilst the blueprint may be ready, Hadith Machinaki is. When the Prophet went to Mi'raj, he saw in Jannah angels working on a construction kind of scenario, you know, a building. And every while now and then they would have the coffee breaks, as they call it, stop. They would build the stop, they would build full of stop. And the Prophet asked, what is this happening? He said, look, this is the material that people send. So every time they do something that deserves, we carry on with construction. They stop there, you can stop. The Prophet explained this. And then when he explained this in Hadith, he says, Iyako, beware, that after your construction is ready, that does not mean that it is going to stay there. Iyako, right, and beware that you can send fire to destroy that building after it has been constructed. Now, this is a very metaphorical stage. It doesn't mean that things are happening and fire goes there and gets gone. But the concept is that construction takes place. In fact, this told the Holy Prophet that every time a person says Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Tasbihat Allah, right? Every time a person says, we carry on work, he stops, we stop. It's highly recommended. That's the aim of the story. The motive of the hadith is that it's highly recommended to recite this as many times as you can. So, this is how the concept of Jannah is. concept of Jahannam, I remember reading in one hadith that says the earth will convert, will turn into Jahannam.
And now,
looking at the issues of volcano and the huge fireball that is inside this earth, one can somehow tend to comprehend at least that how difficult, or how that fire of hell is going to be. Wallahu a'lam. Right, so this was one. Second, let's look at let's look at
the bits of the heart, the eyes, and the ears. What's the reason for them to say?
That is the kind of creation. Yeah. It's a very simple explanation. The people who enter the fire of hell have been granted with all the organs necessary to take them into guidance. They have hearts, they have eyes, they have sight. But these are not organs that are not functional. These are functional. But they only hear what they want to hear, they only see what they want to see, right? They only understand what they want to understand, the way they want to understand. Therefore, they are worse than animals. Because you know that famous analogy, comparison, that human beings have the ability to reach a higher status than angels, because angels do not have instincts or desires to oppose their intellect, right? And therefore, they are masoom, but they are with a different kind of ismat. They are not like the Ismat in the Torah or Prophet. They do not have simply the will or the desire to disobey or to defy the command of Allah. So when a human being gets to the status of piety, he can rise beyond the level of angels. On the same token, when a human being rejects, then he can become worse than an animal, because the animal tomorrow can say that I did not have the intellect to discern what is right, what is wrong. You at least have that. So that human being, this is the verse that says, is worse than animals. He doesn't want to learn. The animal at least, he follows his instincts, does not want to, cannot, simply does not have the intellect to learn, right, to understand. Now I come to the concept of khulud. Khulud means eternity. Hum fiha khalidun, right? Are they forever in the fire of hell or in Jannah?
We were talking about this one, that you were saying that the khulud doesn't mean eternity, it means residence. You have to add abada to mean eternity.
I was of the opinion that khaliduna fiha means they are permanent. Dakhil is enter, dukhul is enter, khulud is permanent. Abada is just reinforcement. Right? Now, it is our belief. Finally, before I explain in the Quran, you've got to understand what our belief is. It is our belief that anyone who enters Jannah will never ever get out of Jannah. Will always remain in Jannah. For God, Allah is so merciful. But once one enters Jannah, there is no room for punishment. But when it comes to Jahannam, there are verses in the Holy Quran that says that there is a time element involved in Jahannam. Right? Although it says in many instances it is khalidun, right? But that is to certain group of people only. Other groups of people, or other kinds of people, there are people who will enter the fire of hell, be punished for their sins, be absolved, and then enter Jannah. That is our firm belief based on Quran and Hadith. The Quran, Surah Al-Hud. 106. Sorry, 107 and 108. In fact, 106, 107, 108. Can you read the translation now?
Then as for those who shall be wretched, they shall be in the fire, but them therein shall be sighing and groaning. They shall abide therein so long as the heavens and the earth endure, except what willeth thy Lord. Verily thy Lord is the doer of whatsoever he willeth. And as for those who will be blessed, they shall be in the garden, abiding therein so long as the heavens and the earth endure. Accept what thy Lord willeth,
a
gift incessant.
Atta and ghair madhur. See, whilst you will see the two verses are talking of Shaqi and Sa'id, right? Sa'id is normally a term given to a person who is happy, who is blessed, right? Shaqi is a term given to a person who is wretched, as it calls it, yeah? Gujarati Mahavira again, Kathan Dilwar in Shakti Krishna. Right? Now, the verses talk about Jannah and Jahannam. Shakti is somebody who will be in Nar, Khudha, Madamak, Samawat, Wal Ard, Illa Masha'a Rabbuk. Right? As long as the earth and the skies are there, except that Allah wishes. That means there is a condition. Allah has made it a conditional, okay, that is his wish. Now you will see the same sentence repeated for Jannah. Barely. But the writer is in the end. Ata'an ghayra madhud nefa'alun lima yurid. Incessant. That means once it starts, never ends. Masha'a rabbuk is what he grants them. For within Jannah, there will be people who will be raised at different levels, from one level to another level, right? Whereas in the fa'alun lima yurid is referring to the power of Allah to change the status of a person from Jahannam into Jannah. That is the slight subtle difference. Although it talks of similar words, similar, you will see the verses that are similar. But the difference lies in the end rider. He ata and ghayra madhuz at the incessant when he talks about Jannah. And when he talks about Jahannam, he says, fa'al lima yurid. Nobody is there to question him. He can do whatever he likes. Right? And he can change the status of one from Jahannam to Jannah. Riwayat Pache, a certain hadith that says that a man would be in Jahannam, in one of the lower pits of Jahannam. Because remember, Jahannam also has seven pits, as they call it, yeah? They call it Dark, not Daraja. Daraja is higher. When he goes down, it's called Dark. So he went to the second, then the third, and he go down to the seventh, which is the hottest. And in one of the pits, there may be a person who may be praying, asking for forgiveness. Because all those who are in the fire of hell will be constantly asking for forgiveness. Okay, what is this? You know, they want to go back to Jannah. They are, some of them are believers, but who are paying for sins. And this hadith that is in Akhbar Uyun al-Ghuda, Uyun al-Akhbar, sorry. And yeah, this person will be praying. And suddenly he will ask that I ask you by the wasila of Prophet Muhammad and his family. And immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell Jibreel, this is the hadith that says, will tell Jibreel, go to this person and lift him out of the fire of hell. Jibreel again, the hadith says, Jibreel will say, how can I go in the fire of hell? You know, he says, you go there and make it cold, I have made it cold and secure for you, safe for you. As in Barda wa Salam. Right? Then he goes and says, how will I find him? He says, you'll find him at this point. He goes and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pick the person up, will take him to Jannah, and before he enters Jannah, Allah will tell him, but how long have you been praying? And the man will say, I have been praying for years a day. And Allah says, what if I told you you have been praying for less than a day? And I have made it come back on myself, Allah will say, I have made it myself that whoever asks me by the wasilah for these personalities, I will never refuse them. Because you asked me on behalf of them, I have been. The concept, the hadith also was trying to explain, the concept of time, that because it was painful for him, it had been such a long time, yet Allah is telling him to be less than a day. That changes will take place then. Again, people who come in from Jahannam will change totally to suit the surroundings and environment of Jannah. Meaning that change totally is in Jahannam, people who are in Jahannam are black and burnt skin and all that. But when they come to Jannah, they will be revived and refreshed, totally young and active. That is up to the Day of Judgment. Don't forget there is Shafa. This Shafa will come by people begging.
The Shafa you get is if you last in while you are alive.
Sorry?
The Shafa from like the other day.
Yes.
I always thought if you are asking while you are alive.
No.
Even if you are
absolutely. In fact, you will see that there are so many ahadiths that say that when angels will be ordered to take people into the fire of hell, as they are being pushed to the fire of hell, some will turn back, and Allah will order the angels, wait, why did that person turn back? Why did he look back? So when the person is asked, why did he look back? He said, look, my understanding of God is different. My understanding of Allah is that He is a merciful Allah, not like this. And Allah, just by that, will pick him up and say to Jannah.
Right.
Because حَسُنَ ظَنُّكَ مِي. Your understanding of me, and I want to be truthful to that understanding. And therefore, on that understanding only. So there are so many things that will happen. That will be on the Day of Judgment. Right?
Please,
interesting. It is interesting. We see once you have that understanding here. حُسْنُ الظَّنِّ جَمْ بِهِنَّ by Allah, in Allah. Allah is more merciful than all these things. Dua Kumail Mamre Parache. When we recite Dua Kumail, we talk about the fire of hell and we cry. But towards the end, we say that
someone will pray how you improve the faith.
Towards the end, we say, I am confident that you have created the Jahannam only for kafirs. Right? Yeah, exactly. These are the things that we ask. Okay, how can somebody who has performed sajda, how can you let his forehead burn? How can you have the heart who has understood you and your presence burn, despite all the sins and all? So, this is the verse, yeah?
Can I ask you one question about this?
Sure.
Why is there this limitation in both Jannah and Jahannam, so long as the heavens and the earth endure?
That is the sign of eternity. I think...
I thought there would be no heavens on earth.
The only thing I could understand was that for the concept to be understood, right, the eternity concept, the concept of eternity, this had to come. This is just to give a clue of what eternity is like. I'll tell you one thing. the more ahadith you read, the more you think that Jannat and Jahannam may be the final abode for us, but that is not in the end of creation. Funny, isn't it? You want me to explain what that means? Think of it this way, that once we go into Jannah and Jahannam, right, it is the end for us. But Allah is more powerful than to just let it stay there finished. He can create a whole new system like ours and have other human beings coming.
Concept of
previous Adams. Well,
there could be actually people in heaven, there, heaven now.
There could be. Although, they're, according to our belief, there isn't.
But that may only be for our system. There may be other systems that we're not even.
You tell me, what is stopping Allah? Does He have limited powers?
No. We understand only.
Does He have a restriction of space? Is there a restriction of space?
There's something which I was thinking about, is that in this world we have a purpose.
Huh?
We have a purpose in this world, in this life. I'm going to Jannah, okay. What is the purpose then? To what? Live and eat and be happy or...
Jannah?
Yeah. There must be some purpose.
Most payback time.
What Arif is saying is after a while you get bored.
It's like play a game over and over again.
That's what we were discussing last time, if you remember. Jannah is going to be so different. There's no time for getting bored.
There must be a purpose. There must be a purpose.
What's the purpose?
Well, having good fun, okay. Good.
They could be that.
That's putting it very mildly, yeah?
In this world, the aim is to get close to Allah. There, you could. You'll never get.
The aim is to enjoy closeness to Allah.
And even get closer, maybe. And you can never get.
You can never see.
Yeah, I think there's always. Can never stop getting close, so maybe.
I think we were mentioning, I think last week or the week before, that here we are trying to get close to Allah. In those people who reach Jannah will get close to Allah. The point is that people like us may necessarily not even appreciate that when we get there. And probably we're not the right people to go there then.
Well, I mean, inshallah, if whoever does go there, maybe the appreciation will come. Well, and that will be the reward. Because that is from people who have it.
People have got that ma'rifat, Gnostics and that. They say that's the most pleasurable thing more than any worthy.
Yeah.
So maybe
when we get there, inshallah,
we will
be given that ability to
appreciate.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. Hey, I wanted to look at Surah Sa'd.
It's another verse related
to people in Jahannam again.
Surah Sa'd.
Surah Sa'd, I think it is 38. Surah Sa'd, verse 64. Start from 62, 63, and 64. Very interesting concept. It's a double-edged sword with a certain message. وَقَالُوا مَا لَنَا لَا نَرَى رِجَالًا كُنَّا نَعُبْدُهُمْ مِنَ الْأَشْرَارِ أَتَّخَذْنَاهُمْ سَخْرِيًّا أَمْ زَاغَتْ عَنْهُمُ الْأَبْصَارُ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ الْحَقُّ تَخَاصُمُ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. This would be a people in the fire of hell. Who will be complaining or who will be saying that what is wrong? Why do we not see those people who we considered as evil people? Why don't we see them? Right? Now, the interpretations of these are many. As Shias, we can clearly say that this is what all Shia Mufassirin in any Muslim. The very people who call us kafirs, the very people who call us. Okay, we are mushriks, right? And thus, by saying that they say we deserve the fire of hell, we are najis and so on, right? These are the same people who will be saying, where are those people who we consider to be Ashraf? That means okay, they will be in the fire. And they will be looking for us. Okay, we consider this and this Shia to be Mushrik, yet we do not see them in the fire of hell. Number one, people of the fire of hell will be able to see each other. They will know who has come and who has gone.
Right?
Number two, they will be able to ask and find out. Kaun kya chahiye, su kare chahiye, kitna chahiye. Right? They may be at different levels. They may be told, okay, different level. If you want to go and see, you can go. Down or up. Yeah? But it's worse.
I thought they'll be such a pain, they won't have anything else to think about.
You've
heard of that joke, nahi? They went, a person was taken to hell at three different levels.
What level of hell do you want?
At the first level he went to the hard wood, hot wood. The people were standing on their heads. So he looked at that level and then he said, this is quite difficult. They went to the second level. Second level was the floor was solid iron, hot iron.
Right.
People were standing on their head. He said, this is what happened. Let me look at the third level. Went to the third level, he saw that it was a room full of waste and excretion, sewer, right? Sewage. But people were standing on their feet. They were drinking coffee and walking around and talking to each other. And he said, this may be worse than the other two because of the stench and all that, but at least they're standing on their feet, not on their head. So he chose that one. He said, I will take this one. As soon as he entered the room, he got a cup of coffee, they started. He was standing and suddenly there was an announcement, coffee break is up on your hands. So talking of coffee break, fire of hell, but people in the fire of hell, you see, you got to understand the nature of people who will be in the fire of hell. People who are so touchy to think about others, people who want to spoil others, hasad.
And again, hell. They said, oh, why did we listen to God and all that?
But because,
each, same old condition, they haven't changed it.
But actually, you know, I think what he was asking was, Jahannam has got to be worse than the day of Qiyamah. And on the day of Qiyamah, you won't even remember your parents. On this day, how are you going to think about this other guy? No, you won't even remember your parents. You run away from your parents and your children.
No, but I think the reason why you won't be able to recognize is that the initial shock hasn't sunk in yet. Once the shock sinks in, then you start recognizing people. Then you start seeing why he is there, why I am here. You start realizing all that. Otherwise, why in Jahannam they would say, oh God, punish them double because they are the ones who misled us. Allah will say, for both, remember last time we did, for both of you there is double, right? Amad, the verses here are very clear. Ek, so we're talking about Wahhabis. We can talk about Wahhabis, but that is one. On the other side, there is even that particular thing. You know the arrogance we have. We think Amad is going to Jahannam. Our man is Jahannam, which has our motto, church, you know, these kind of things. We will not see that. They might be doing some small things that is so pleasant to Allah, for which Allah will forgive them. And we have hadiths. We have a hadith that drunken, right? A person who drinks daily, a hadith is a very strong hadith. This person who drinks daily dies, and Allah tells the Prophet of the time, Ki Abai. Jannati Shaykh asks why he was, you know, he used to drink daily, and Allah explained that he used to drink daily, but he had these three things, knowing that he's doing wrong.
Music or wolf, speak Allah and define. Look, I'm saying that. Let's see.
No, no, Emily.
No, that's what.
You're getting it. You see, there are people who would start committing a sin, right?
Yes, I have to start now again.
There are people who will commit sins. Initially, their conscience will bite them, right? But to have the conscience bite you throughout your life, that means there is some goodness in you. This is the way Allah has created a human being. You start committing a sin. Initially, your conscience will bite you very strongly. You shouldn't be doing these things. But there will come a time, because you are doing it again and again, there will come a time when your conscience will stop fighting it. Right? To have it in you that your conscience bites you throughout your life means there is some goodness in you. Do you understand that? So, there are so many factors that are taken into account. It is not as easy as grey and black and white, this is clear cut. It can't be. And for every individual person, Allah will judge them according to his or her intentions. What was the motive behind? What was the drive behind that?
So we should be very careful of judging other people. Like,
we can't.
Well, like, a person like Saddam Hussein, which we think he's one way to hell, we can't be sure.
I think the criterion here when it comes to judgment, because we're talking about this once before, I don't know if you were with us, judge actions. Be careful to judge people. You can say that I see this person stealing bila shak is haram, but whether this person is doing bad or not, that I'm going to reserve judgment on.
I was saying that Saddam will go to hell is a wrong statement. We shouldn't make that
statement.
Say
it anyway. No.
You say I don't agree with that. I think there is a certain line to be maintained here. It is not, you see, there are extremes in all cases. Right? Can we not make a statement that the Holy Prophet and his Ahlul Bayt are in Jannah definitely? Right? Is there a question about that? No question. Similarly, anybody who opposes that, can we not make a statement that they are in Jahannam definitely? Say for example Yazid or Umar al-Sa'd, right? Is there not that full confidence that they are Jahannam? They are. Why? Because that is a question of fisq. When fisq is that open declaration, openly sin, without any qualms for religion or religiousness or anything. When somebody does that openly, defying all values that you have, right, then you have a right to decide. You have a right to judge, at least not decide. Of course, this is shit. Right? But when it comes to ordinary people, Ajay, let's take our society for example, right? I'm a Samachar Malik. His brother died and he's usurped his wealth and the orphans are not getting money and so on, so right? And we start talking about it. First of all, that is not public knowledge, number one. It has come to our eyes. It has come to our knowledge, right? Number two, if we pass it on over generations, I tell my children and they tell their children and on, right? We don't know what transpired later. Was there a time when, his own heirs may have sought forgiveness and repaid the debt and whatever, something may have corrected the whole thing. So there is no fisq involved. When there is fisq, right, fasq, that is when you can talk about it, when you can make a judgment.
Okay, if that man himself came and said, yes, I did it, so what? Then you could make the judgment. So in Saddam's case, that's the case. The guy himself has said.
He openly defies all religions, eh? Right? Right, let's go on to another verse. So next time any Wahhabi talks to you about Muslim, you tell him, fine, this is what we believe about you. This is the verse. We shall see who is in the fire of hell looking for the other. Either we are in the fire of hell looking for you, or you are in the fire of hell looking for us. But I can tell you this much. Okay, this verse is tafsir, right? From three different sources, the Chhatta Imam, Sixth Imam, Fifth Imam, and the Eighth Imam, right? From these three different Imams, it has been reported Fifth, sixth, and eighth, of course, yeah. It has been reported that not a single Shia will go into the higher of heaven.
Yeah, Shia doesn't mean the Shia.
Jannah. Isn't that a dangerous statement?
You got to describe Shia, can't you see?
Maybe if at the end, maybe after making their time in Jahannam, they end up just like
what the Imam said, that this verse shows that they, because you see, don't forget that even during the time of Banu Abbas, there was a lot of anti-Shia campaign, right? And Banu Umayyah and Banu Abbas time, there was a lot of anti-Shia campaign, like what we face today from the Wahhabis. But that time it was the Banu Abbas and the Banu Umayyah who were so anti-Shia. The Imams told them, look, this verse shows that those very people who want to prove you wrong and who believe you are wrong, right, will be looking for you in the fire of hell. Yet they will not find you. Right. Now, Surah Rahman. Yeah, 55. Surah 55. Surah Rahman, Surah 55, verse number 39. Interesting, isn't it? What is the verse say?
No. Your mouth will be zipped. You said that last week. Your mouth will be zipped. You will not be asked. Your body will speak.
Insun wala jan.
Well, he's sin. They confirm that he did sin.
Huh?
He won't be asked about his sin. They confirm that he did sin.
But he won't be asked about it. Nobody will be asked about their sins. Yes. That does not mean that we do not have to answer for our sins. Right? In fact, if you look at the verse, this is 39, 49 and 41 also, after Fabi'ali Alai Rabbi Kumat Fabi'ban, it clarifies. It says every criminal is known by their face. So they don't need to be asked.
And they should be seized by their forelocks.
Nawas, you know what is Nawas?
So that's why the Jews are not allowed to cut it. The Orthodox ones, they don't cut it.
People will confess themselves.
People will be complaining to their own bodies. Why are you witnessing against me? Why are you justifying against me? What is wrong with you? Right? But they will have no power over their limbs, over their eyes, over their tongues, that will justify everything. That is the day.
In verse 44, the word last word, an, what does that mean?
Huh?
The verse 44.
44?
The last word, an.
يَطُفُونَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ حَمِيمٍ an.
Hamim is hot water. Hamim is hot water. But an.
What does it say?
I don't understand how it matches. What exactly does that one word mean?
An means instant. Now. That's one meaning of an.
Al-an.
Now.
No. I can't figure out how that fits with you.
How is it been translated?
If the sentence around in it, around shall they run in hot boiling water.
To me, the way I understand it in Arabic is that something that has been brought forward at that moment. Right? Without being there. You know that kind of meaning I get. Now, there is one verse that talks about the time element. We were talking about the time element and the fire of time. We looked at one verse of Surah Hud, right? But there is another verse in Surah Naba, which is the only verse that says that they will be in the fire of hell for a certain time. Right? And that is Surah Naba 22. 23, sorry. 78 is Surah Naba. If you look at that verse, لَابِثِينَ فِيهَا أَحْقَابًا. This is the only place where a time, look at that, 78-23, where a time scale has been given for people in the fire of hell. Right? لَابِثِينَ فِيهَا أَحْقَابًا. أَحْقَابًا is a plural of حُقُم. Right? Try and understand this. Is one period of 8 years. لَابِثِينَ فِيهَا أَحْقَابًا, that means they are in it, in the fire of hell, for minimum 3 حَقُب, because حَقُب, حُقُبَان, أَحْقَاب. Right? حَقُب, حُقُبَان, أَحْقَاب. Minimum 3. And according to the hadith, there will be as many as 80 حَقُب. People who will be in the fire of hell for a certain period of time will be in there for as long as 80 حقب. That means 8 by 8 years.
And it says here, each of those years is as long as 1,000 years in Arabic.
No, that's a mistake. Each year contains 365 days. Each day is 1,000 years that you want. Is that what it says? Each year is 1,000 years? And we know, the Quran says each day is a
thousand. No, it says thousands of years. And then it carries on to say what you're saying. Yes.
Exactly.
My goodness.
So, let's not fool ourselves. The kind of spirit we're talking about. There is no mention of sa'at, no ayyam, no isbu, or nothing.
Who was that of the yad kind of yad?
Sanawati yadhi. Ahqaba. La bithina fiha ahqaba. This is the only time scale that is mentioned. So minimum of the 3 million, it doesn't need a rocket scientist to figure that one out. 3 by 8 years, 240 years, 240 by 365 days, times a thousand miles. Calculators of this.
Kaput.
Right? You know what you mean?
Yeah.
What
does
that count to go to?
This is like 80 times 80.
No, that is the maximum. Minimum is 3. Right? So 3 and 80, but times 80, like 3 times 80 is 240 years. 240 times 365 days in each year, times 1,000 years of what we count. You can imagine, you know, it's such a long time. That is just to give you a clue or an inkling of what time scale we're talking about. For those who will enter the fire of hell and go
to
hell.
Is that just to give you an idea of the length of time?
It's just to give you an idea of that. Those who enter the fire of hell will not be out in the pandemic. They are going to the scale there will be ahqab. Right? Ahqab is the one thing. That means a minimum of one.
Even if it's one, it's too much.
It's still too long a time.
We think quickly. aku jannah chaksu ne lungo chakmani na
you meet everyone
there just go
and just put your office
completely
la hawla
poi possiamo ripetere
già non vuoi sempre.
Right, this brings me to the end of, there are so many verses, as I said earlier, talking about Jannat and Jahannam, right, especially describing the kind of people who will enter, the pious, the truthful, the honest, the well-mannered and good-behaved people, and so on, right? description of people who will enter heaven are those who are Jahannam, those who are mushrik, kuffar, who defy the authority of Allah, arrogant ones, and so on, right? All these descriptions can be found in the Holy Quran. You'll find a description of the people, that is Ahlul Jannah and Ahlul Naar, of the people in earlier surahs of the Holy Quran, that is Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Ali Imran, Surah Al-An'am, Surah Al-A'raf. These are the surahs that talk about the kind of people in heaven and hell. When you want the description of heaven and hell, you look at the later surahs. And you find that when you get to 27, 28, 29 and 30th surahs, you find more surahs talking or describing very clearly what it is going to be like in heaven and in hell. Now, with this, I think that makes it a series of 10 cassettes in all, if I'm not mistaken. Sorry? You lost count. You're still thinking about those figures?
This might be 9, I think.
Yeah. About the, what we talked about, death and after death and Jannah and Jahannam. Now comes the $64,000 question. What are we going to do next?
We have to talk about Jannah, haven't we? We talk about all the bad things. No, seriously. Because last week you said we'll talk about Jahannam and Jannah, but I'm not sure which order.
And why is people for laugh? And the part we discussed last week. And this topic with
Ahqab. Ahqab, it's a bad thing,
no? No, it's like number 13. Or not.
What do you want to know about Jannah?
How we get there?
He's going to tell us Jannah. You won't give us God.
The person who
drives. Yeah, I can talk about Jannah if you want. Let's talk about that next week. Let's talk about Jannah briefly, and also talk about what kind of people will make it to Jannah.
Then we can close
that,
the series.
So that we understand, yeah? But more importantly, after next week, once we finish this, what do you have in mind? Will you continue from where we stopped, from Surah Al-Baqarah? Do you have other things in mind?
That's Luqman.
Luqman, wisdom.
Have we talked about surahs where, well, for akhlaq, which surah the Quran describes ways to behave, not general ideas? Have you talked about it?
We haven't.
Is that something we can do?
Yeah, it's something different, eh?
Yes, like learn from the Quran how we should behave. And maybe to get to that.
How about socializing?
Yeah.
Socializing.
Other people.